All right, everybody say, hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
This is Jeff. Jeff is on staff at Life Challenge. Life Challenge, they are with us today for like, what in the world's Life Challenge? They are an amazing ministry who we partner with here at Faith, and they help provide services for folks who are stuck in addiction and help them step into recovery. And so we're super excited to have them with us. They're going to be sharing with us musically. They're going to be sharing testimony. Jeff's going to be preaching today. I was part of first service. Did a great job, man. Thank you. Yeah. Don't mess it up for this one, all right? Okay. All right. That's my way of being encouraging. So, Jeff, we're excited to have you guys here, have you sharing, having the choir share with us. And take it away,
sir.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. And good morning. It's great to be with you. How many of you remember us from last year? All right. Okay. You guys are energetic. You know, you never know what you're going to run into in the second hour, second service. I guess there's some extra gojo in that coffee, or maybe a little extra of the Holy Spirit. Maybe a combo, right? It's all good. How many of you, just a quick question, are presently in recovery? Raise your hand. Okay, not my friends, okay? I already know that. We know that about ourselves. How many are presently in recovery? Okay. How many of you struggle once in a while with pride? Greed? Some anger? Okay. Laziness? No one wants to admit that. You ever see a lazy anonymous? I know. A trick question. You were thinking initially, oh, you know, drugs, alcohol. To be alive is to be addicted. We've all got our go-to attachments. I'm in recovery for a lot of things. Maybe at the top of the list, Phariseeism, legalism. Been in recovery over 50 years, if you can believe that. There's still much to be recovered. But I'm grateful that Jesus is a very stubborn recoverer. And doesn't give up on us. Anyone else feel me on that one? Praise the Lord. So this morning, we just want to bring some hope. Some of you have a loved one, a friend, family member, maybe yourself. You're struggling with an addiction. And maybe it has to do with an addiction to drugs or alcohol. Could be a list of other things. We want to bring some hope that there is a God who is in the recovery business. There's a God who's set to redeem all creation right here in this room. And I want to introduce you to one of my friends as the rest of our men make their way to this platform. Tyler, would you join me up here? And by the way, before I forget, we've got a booth to my right, kind of in your lobby. We've got these out there. Would you be our ambassadors? You say, you know, ambassadors for what? People need to get in recovery. And thank God for AA. I heard that you have kind of an opportunity to host an AA group here. NA, CR, all those things are good. Some people, though, they need to just get away for a while. Right? Out of the craziness, we have a recovery program that's residential. And we provide up to 1 year. You know, we'll start with 30 days. Hopefully it can go into 3 months for many. Hopefully for many, it's a whole year of gospel-centered, spirit-infused, Jesus-loving recovery. Do I have a witness out there? Okay, all right. How you doing, young man?
I'm doing all right.
You're doing all right? Better than all right, I hope.
Yeah.
Tyler's one of my bodyguards, if you haven't guessed it. So in case anyone comes running, you'll get me?
Sure.
Okay, man. Tyler, how old are you?
26.
26. You've been here in our program. How long?
Going on 11 months.
Take us back 11, 12 months ago. What was going on?
I was just hurting, using drugs, running the streets, being isolated.
How long had that gone on? That running and isolating, using and abusing?
15 years.
15. So you started really young. How, How did things start? Just a little of your story, if you don't mind.
Well, since the age of 3, my biological father's been locked up, and I had a stepfather, but I just felt at home I was not wanted, so I looked other places for the love I was looking for, and I found it in the streets.
And what do you mean by the streets?
People I used to associate with, could be people from school or people way older than me, you know.
And that led to an awfully slippery slope for you?
Definitely.
Was there a point, you know, in the midst of this where you just thought, maybe I'm doomed? I can't do life the way maybe I'd like to, maybe the way I should?
Yeah, I would say in 2019, I just had enough and called my grandmother and was crying to her on the phone and told her I needed help. So since that point, I've been in and out of rehabs, fighting.
Just tell me, just quickly, a little bit about Grandma.
Oh, she saved my life multiple times. And
she a woman of faith?
I wouldn't say. Well, I would say she has some faith.
Okay.
But she saved my life multiple times, and I shouldn't have put her through that. But
she cared.
Yeah, she's been there.
Yeah. So in and out of different rehabs. How did you wind up here?
Again, just out there running the streets and really wanting to change. I've tried a lot of rehabs and been to jail and all that type of stuff. And somehow I came across Life Challenge, and I knew I needed something other than just me. And
you needed something other than just you. What do you mean?
Like, I needed some spiritual healing and help. And I knew that Life Challenge was a place that could offer that to me.
So when you came in 11 months ago, you were jumping up and down for joy?
Nah. No, I was not. I definitely was not. Didn't know about the choir either, but...
No one told you you'd be singing in a choir.
No.
No, we keep that from prospects, okay? Certain things they need to know, certain things they don't need to know, okay? You know, there's something powerful about song, though. You know, America's greatest theologian, Jonathan Edwards, some of you remember him, perhaps, from church history, First Great Awakening. One of the things he required of all his congregants was singing lessons. So important was congregational singing. That's when right and left brain connect. They fuse the logical with the emotive side. And there's something powerful. So that's why we sing. And we sing gospel songs to light some fires. Is that happening?
Definitely.
Who's Jesus to you? Where are you at with him right now?
He's my Lord and Savior. Yeah. He's my healer.
And what's he been healing?
My heart.
And what specifically about your heart?
The hopelessness. He's given me a purpose, given me new desires.
New desires?
A new love for him.
That's what conversion does. You get a new love, a new set of loves. Is that awesome? Hey, how many will remember to pray for Tyler? Would you, once in a while, just say his name? Jesus, help that young man. You've got some kids that, you know, you got to be the father to, a man of God to. How many kids?
Two.
Two kids. How old are they?
They're both 4.
Both 4. So we got a dad here, and we pray that this stuff spill over into them. Isn't that what you want?
Absolutely.
Come on, man. Let's go sing. Brother Dave.
We've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. Have you been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies? If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify, testify.
If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Hey, Jesus changes lives. If you miss everything else, you ever hear a preacher say that? If you miss everything else, don't miss that. Jesus changes lives. I've had the pleasure of working in this ministry for the last 36 years. And can I tell you, grace of God, I enjoy what I do because I get to see Jesus rewrite stories. Rewrite people's lives. And so, man, just take that with you. Maybe you've got, you know, your own set of issues. Maybe you've got, again, a loved one out there and it just weighs upon you. We just want you to leave with hope, okay? Hope takes many forms and shapes, you know. Doesn't always look like we were, you know, hoping. But Jesus does change lives. His way, his time. And hold on to that. This is Dylan. Dylan has been with us, like Tyler, 11 months. How old are you?
34.
34. Dylan, what was going on in your life that necessitated a major change, i.e. coming into this program?
Well, I'd say a while before I got to this program, I was kind of living through the same kind of cycles, searching for things that I just simply couldn't find, just looking for a happiness, for fulfillment. And when I couldn't find them, I figured that I would just find it in chasing my own pleasure, my own selfishness. which led me into, you know, looking everywhere, and it ended up settling on drug addiction for me, and it spiraled out of control for there, and things never got better. I continued to look in every other kind of faith or just anything I could latch onto for a time, but I ended up back in that same cycle of just coming back to the drugs and the same.
You just couldn't get the peace you were after, right? The contentment.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Dylan, you had some grandparents you were living with, and we heard in the service before this one that as a requirement, you had to go to church.
Yeah.
Can I say this, moms and dads, grandparents? If they're under your roof, it's your business. It's okay. It's okay. So grandma said, you know, one of the conditions, you just need to go to the house of the Lord, whether or not you believe, whether or not you like it. And you did. They had a CR group. Yep. Tell us about your experience in that Celebrate Recovery group.
Sure. So it was my first CR group I ever went to. I've been to many, many meetings for other types of groups before, and they're, you know, they work for people, but I came to this group and I noticed that there was something very different about the guys there. Immediately, even the ones who were going through had a lot of pain and were going through like a lot of hardship at that point, there was like a joy, some kind of internal peace and joy that I just didn't understand. I couldn't relate to it, but I knew that I was like, it amazed me, and I was like, there's something different here, and you know, they shared it with me because that's what they wanted to do. Immediately they wanted to share it with me, and they told me, like, it's Jesus, like that's what this is. And of course, when I heard that, I was like, yeah, okay, you know, sure. You know, there's, like, I agree, like, okay, you think it's Jesus or there's something there. I wasn't ready to accept that yet, but...
But it was a critical point in your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I knew that they believed it, and I was like, there's something here, and I do, it's working for them. And they're joyful, so I need to open up my mind to it. And that's exactly what I did. I started reading the Gospels. I started going to church and actually listening instead of tuning things out. And I learned a lot about this man, Jesus, and just the incredible, and I don't even know how to put it in words, the way he lived that I couldn't even relate to. I couldn't wrap my head around it. I'm like, this guy just gives and serves and does so much.
There's something attractive, you know, about this Jesus that had you shadowing him in the pages of scriptures.
Yeah.
So just, you know, fast forward, you finally made your way into this program through some of those that were in that group encouraging you. What have you found here? Where are you at?
When I came here, I was still at that same point. I wasn't ready to open up anything yet, but I didn't realize that I had to surrender, and I did just that. And when I opened up instead of just my mind to Christ, I opened up my heart, and at that moment, it was like he just flooded in, and he said, I'm coming in now. We're changing things. You're not going to worry about the things you worried about before. You're not going to want the things you want before. And he was right. He like revolutionized the way I think, the way I feel and want. The things I want out of life are completely different now, you know.
He did some major rewiring.
Yeah, like miraculously. That's a word, I don't know, but it was like a miracle pretty much. Yes. Is the way best way I could describe it. Because it wasn't me. I didn't really change, except for, like I said, I just opened up that little bit. He did the rest.
With, Dylan, we have any prayer partners out there? Will you remember Dylan as well? And I just appreciate that word. You opened your heart up. And he said, we're coming in. We're going to change some things. And it's been a good change.
Yes, yes,
amen.
Very much.
Amen. Thank you, Dylan. Don't you just love hearing these stories? God's redemption. Thank you, Brother Dave. And just so much appreciate traveling with my dear friend, Brother Dave Bonello. He serves as our choir director. Tyler never knew he'd be singing, but he's singing. Please, again, stop by our booth. I just want to show you something before we quickly head into God's Word. This is our 60th anniversary this year. We've been around in this area for 60 years. We're part of a much larger organization. We're called officially Adult and Teen Challenge. Some of you know us by that name. We locally are called Life Challenge, but we're affiliated with the mothership, Adult and Teen Challenge. And we've got our 60th birthday party coming up in October. It's going to be an incredible event, red carpet, gala, and you can get that UR code and you can check things out, but we would love for you to attend. Seating is limited. I suspect it's going to fill up by June. That's my hope. And we've got some great things lined up, but check us out. Would you do that? Okay. Hey, let's make our way into John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I want to talk to you about the most important matter in life. It is the most important matter in life. It's not your self-image. It's not your father issues. It's not your anger problem, your lust issues. Those are important. But there's something infinitely more important. It's not the upcoming presidential election. It's not sex gender issues. It's not human trafficking, it's not abortion, it's not systemic racism. Those are all important. But there is something much, much more important that I want to talk to you about this morning. What really matters? That's the title of my message. What really matters? John 3, verses 1 through 7. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying. You must be born again." Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Lord, in these final moments of our worship time, I pray that your word would spread rapidly and have free course. In Jesus' name, amen. I could preach nothing more important, and I could preach nothing more simple and yet profound. The essence of what Jesus said can be wrapped up in a small phrase. You must be born again. I want to focus on three parts of that little phrase. Let's start with the first word. What is it? You. You. Nicodemus came to Jesus and was rather flattering. "Hey, we know there's something special about you. No one could do what you do unless God were with him." It's like Jesus didn't even hear what he said. Didn't even comment. You. You. Jesus didn't have time for pleasantries. No time to talk about theological conundrums. No time to talk about politics. about sports. No time to talk about the weather. Nicodemus, I want to talk about you. This isn't about me. This isn't about the religious establishment. This isn't going to be a talk about the Romans. I want to talk about you right now. You. Notice the second word. What is it? Must. Notice, Jesus didn't say, you know, Nick, I want to recommend something to you. You know, I've got a suggestion for your consideration. You know, I don't want you to feel pressured. Okay? I don't want you to feel strong-armed. You know, just I want you to think about something. You know, these guys sometimes think I'm intense, okay? Talk about Jesus. Talk about intensity. You must. Must. Man, that's kind of pejorative, you know? That's kind of top down. That's kind of strong. You must. You must. Jesus, by the way, a couple of times, just in this section that we read, throws in, I tell you the truth. You know, if you got a KJV, verily, verily. What's that all about? It's like bold print, font size 48, underscored. You need to pay attention now, Nicodemus. I want you to listen carefully. You must. And the third part, would you say it? Be born again. Nicodemus, you need more than a change of attitude. You need more than a change in your head, that crazy stinking thinking. You need more than religion. You need more than a new set of drives and will and determination that, you know, I think we can muster up. You need to be born again. You must be born again. Well, why? Twice Jesus says why. You won't be able to see the kingdom of God and you won't be able to enter it unless you are born again. Now, let me say this very carefully. Hopefully, I won't be misunderstood. I believe in life after death. Thank God that there is life after death. The resurrection, we celebrated that, didn't we, as a church worldwide last week. But Jesus is offering more than life after death, more than good fire insurance. That's important. He's offering as well life before death. Think of what Jesus said right out of the gate. He said, hey, folks, the time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. How many have read that before? Starts all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What did Jesus mean? The kingdom that you have been longing for and waiting for, that kingdom of joy and peace and wellness and wholeness, that kingdom of shalom, it's here. It's here, right now. And I'm the portal. I'm the gate. I'm the door. I'm the way to that kingdom that you can have right now. Life before death. Anyone want life before death? Unless you and I are born again, we'll forfeit this kingdom. Not just in some future distance. We'll forfeit that kingdom right here. Your circumstances, by the way, may not change. There are certain things that, you know, you and I may have to live with the rest of our life. But we can still participate and live in this kingdom, no matter how upsetting the circumstances might be. But there's only one way in. It's by being born again. So let me land the plane. Whatever your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups, if you're doing therapy, stay with it. That's good. Counseling, good. Maybe you need some medicine to keep things balanced. Okay. But can I tell you, you know, you can participate in accountability groups. Good. Gather regularly like we're doing. Good. Important. But it's all a house of cards. Unless you and I are born again. It will be a futile attempt to eke out some kind of joy and contentment, that which was seeking, Dylan was seeking for. You must be born again, each one of us. And might I say, you and I must be born again and again and again and again. I don't think I'm doing injustice to the text. I was born again about 50 years ago, about 8, 9 years of age. I don't remember the exact year. I say it was 8, maybe it was 9, maybe it was 10. How many of you, like me, can't identify the exact day, the exact date? How many? Just raise your hand, okay? About 2/3 of those who are converted to Christ can't identify that time. That's when I crossed over from death to life. I don't know exactly when that happened. There was a time, but I can't pinpoint it. But can I say, along with the big C, we call that the big C, there's the little C. If we can put that up on the screen. A series of multiple conversions. I mean, we got to make a set of multiple conversions. Man, what, a couple thousand times a day? Right? Okay, you go to the gym. Okay, I've got to make sure my eyes are converted right now. I've got to make sure, you know, I'm converted as I get on my phone. Not going to go there. I've got choices, do I not? To either nurture this new life or to detract from it. I can feed it and grow it. That's what we're called to do, to grow into our salvation or to grow into our conversion. Or I can do things that sabotage it, right? Man, this ain't working. Yeah, if you're not feeding that new nature. Dylan and Tyler talked about that new nature. Man, I got new longings now. New set of appetites. A new set of loves. And yes, Dylan, it is miraculous. It is miraculous. And that's what God desires to do for each one of us. You, me, we must be what? Born again. Nicodemus, by the way, in our exchange, asked 2 how questions. How? How? We didn't get to the answer, but you already know where the answer is. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever, by the way, whosoever means no one is too bad, too banged up, too busted, too weird, whacked out. If that were the case, I wouldn't be standing here. That whosoever believes in him would not perish. And that's not just disintegrate after, you know, we check out from this planet. Wouldn't implode right here. Would not perish, but have what? The life of the ages. The life you've always longed for and hungered for. So I say this with humility, with conviction, and with love. You must be born again. Some of you, maybe today, your first time, the big C. For each one of us who have committed to the big C, there's a few other little C's we've got to do some converting in, do we not? I've got some converting to do. Second law of thermodynamics sometimes sets in, does it not? Things go from order to disorder, a slow erode. That's why we come together to provoke each other to righteousness and good works, to faith in Jesus Christ. May I pray for you? Lord Jesus, thank you that the kingdom is available. This life of the ages is available to each one of us. What's the condition? That we believe and learn to rely on you. Even as Dylan said, that we open our, not just mind, but our heart to you and let you take over. That we begin to trust you with our life. Let it be, God, that we might experience this new nature. And God, may we grow in our conversion and experience more fully, more comprehensively, your glorious salvation. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. All God's people would join me in saying, amen and amen.